Facing Life's Challenges with Godly Wisdom, Class 9, Instructing Children. This week's comments include, I really need some encouragement and just all-around advice for parenting. In a world that is after our children and people are trying to, quote-unquote, deconstruct Christian faith, how do we ensure that we are teaching our children not only what to believe, but why to believe it, so that they are able to defend their faith and stay in the faith? Let's start by addressing this idea of deconstruction. Deconstruction is just taking something apart. And there are many who are taking apart or questioning the way they or others were raised in Christian faith, questioning how they were brought up. And in a neutral sense, everyone does, or at least should, do that as they mature into their own faith, their own relationship with Jesus Christ, their own beliefs, and how they're going to play and practice those beliefs in a practical way. But in a negative sense, deconstruction is questioning in order to tear down faith, not to test it or to find answers or to grow or to rebuild, but to abandon that faith entirely. What do we do as Christian parents in a world where this is more and more expected and forced upon children? Well, it starts by building their faith and then helping them to make that faith their own. I remind us of the verse that we talked about last week, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Last week we talked about discipline. This week we talk about the instruction. God has put us in our position as parents to bring up our children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, that we're given the assignment by God to be instructors or teachers of God's word and God's ways, not just behavior enforcers to make sure that they do what they're told. So what is it that we teach our children? Well, I would suggest that the basic building blocks of teaching faithful children have been the same since the days of Moses. If you read with me in Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning in verse 1, Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess. So Moses is saying this just before the people of Israel are going to cross into the promised land. They've received the law, the Ten Commandments, and so forth. That you may fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Here we find the basic building blocks of five things that we should all be teaching our children. We should be teaching our children the commandments, statutes, and judgments of God. That is God's word. Number two, we should be teaching our children to obey the commandments, statutes, and judgments of God. Number three, we should teach our children to fear the Lord. Number four, to love the Lord. And number five, to see that these commands are for our good and for our blessing always because they are from the Lord. So let's say that we teach those five very, very important things. What then? Well, then they're going to have questions, in all likelihood, about what they've been taught. Is this really true? Why do we do the things that we do? And so our role as a parent continues as we instruct them and answer questions according to the questions that they have. This is to be expected, as you see later in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 20, same chapter, a few verses later. When your son asks you in time to come, it's not if, it's when your child asks you, saying, What is the meaning of the testimonies, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord our God has commanded you? God indicates that the asking of questions, even difficult, probing questions about Him, especially by the next generation, is not just okay, it's good and natural and to be expected. But notice that God gives an answer to the question and expects parents to have this answer as well. Verse 21, "Then you shall say to your son, 'We were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders before our eyes, great and severe, against Egypt, Pharaoh, and all his household. Then he brought us out from there, that he might bring us in to give us the land of which he swore to our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. Then it will be righteousness for us if we are careful to observe all these commandments before the Lord our God as he commanded us." One thing that I know with great certainty when it comes to this kind of instruction, especially in the context of deconstruction, is that we cannot be dismissive of the questions that are asked by our children. The more we are dismissive of the questions, the more they might be inclined to believe that there isn't a good answer. Anyone who has a child who's questioning anything, especially maybe as they're young and they go through that stage where they're asking why about everything, you know that kids ask questions that are tough to answer, maybe even that we can't answer. My mother says that when I was 4, I asked her the question, "Can God do anything?" And she answered, as a good mother would, a good Christian mother certainly, "Oh yes, God can do anything." My follow-up question was, "Can God lie?" As parents, we need to be ready to give an answer. And that implies that there will be questions. I saw an interview a number of years ago with Aaron Rodgers, the quarterback, on ESPN, where he talked about his faith and how he grew up in a very conservative religious home. And he said this, quote, "I think in people's lives who grew up in some sort of organized religion, there really comes a time when you start to question things more. It happens for some at an early age, others, you know, maybe a little older." He said he regularly pressed clergy members on issues he had with religion and was often left unsatisfied with the responses, or especially the non-responses. Quote, "I remember asking a question as a young person about somebody in a remote rainforest, because the words that I got were, 'If you don't confess your sins, then you're going to hell.' And I said, 'What about the people who don't have a Bible readily accessible?'" Now, when I heard this interview, or more correctly, when I read this interview, it struck me, because that is almost the exact question I asked my own father when I was 12 or 13. And you know what my parents did when I asked them that question? We sat down and we talked about it. We didn't avoid it. They talked to me about the righteousness of God's judgment. They talked about the parable of the talents and how we will all be judged based on the opportunities that we've been given. My dad turned to the book of Romans and talked about how the gospel is needed to be preached in those areas because it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. But then I remember my dad saying something powerful along these lines. "Reagan, I don't have all the answers on that, but I have enough, and I know enough about God to accept what I don't know on faith." May I suggest that's exactly the answer that Moses says, as he was inspired by the Holy Spirit, that the children of Israel are to give to their children. I read this quote recently from someone who, like me and Aaron Rodgers, I guess, that's probably the only time you're going to hear our names associated together, someone who had lots of questions when they were growing up. Quote, "When I was a teenager, I read the Bible in a year and wrote down every question I had. A youth leader chastised me for questioning Scripture. Now I spend all my time asking questions about the Bible, and it has only made me love it more." I feel exactly the same way. Asking questions has led me to discover so much about the Bible, and I've only grown to know it, appreciate it, love it, and desire it more because of those questions. And I remind all of us as parents that these questions are good. And there is a big difference between our children questioning Scripture and having questions about Scripture. Now, encouraging this kind of questioning environment might require a lot from us. A lot of study, some very awkward or uncomfortable conversations. It might cause us to address things that we never expected to address. I know of some Christian parents who suspected that their child struggled with same-sex attraction. And what did they do? They ignored and avoided the subject. If it came up, they dismissed it and changed the subject. Why? Because they didn't want to face that possibility and didn't feel comfortable in their answers. So where did their child go for answers? The internet? His friends? And the answers were not what was found in the instruction of the Lord. Our children deserve for us to answer these questions to the best of our ability. We are given the assignment by God to be question answerers. He demands it. And certainly we love our children enough to do it. So here are six things along these lines for us to do and remember. Number one, foster a family environment where questioning is not taboo. Our children should be able to come to us with any question at any time on any topic. There should be no taboo subjects ever. Faith, personal problems, temptations, questions are always welcome. It's not embarrassing or wrong to ask the question. And we're not going to shame them and say, oh, how could you ever think such a thing? Or, oh, no, we don't talk about that. Questioning is a sign of thinking. And Christianity is fundamentally a thinking man's religion. Atheists often make the charge of Christianity being ignorant or stupid or blind to reality. But that's not the religion that Jesus established. And how can one read the words of Jesus and come away without a deep respect for the thinking and answers of the master teacher? Number two, engage in answer-seeking with your children. Open the Bible together. I talked with my father-in-law about faithful adult children a number of years ago, and my specific question was, how did you help your children, who were all faithful and married faithful Christian spouses and now grandchildren are faithful Christians and so on and so forth, how did you help them develop their own faith? And he looked at me, he thought about it, and he said, Reagan, Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And I said, yeah, I know that, obviously, sure. But how did you help them develop their own faith? How did you help them grow in that? And he said, no, Reagan, you're not hearing me. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When they had something that they needed to talk about their faith, we opened the Bible together to answer those questions. Now, I would suggest that begins teaching them when they're young, that studying the Bible is something that we do as a family. And as they get older, and especially after they obey the gospel, they need to hear the biblical explanation and reason for things. We need to quote the scripture or turn to the scripture to explain our actions, why we need to act a certain way, or why we believe a certain thing. And we need to talk about the Bible in the car and around the dinner table. We need to admit when we don't know, but then seek to find out together. We should be able to say to our children, well, let's look it up. Our daily Bible readings are an awesome opportunity for this, and it begins by simply asking, do you have any questions about what we've read? And when you have a question about something in the text, they should be able to come to us about that question. Why was the veil torn in two? Why did the axe head float? What is the church? That's where the good stuff is, if we'll allow it. Number three, answer questions in the context of an omnipotent, omniscient, an all-loving God. If we cannot fully answer the what of the questions, remember the who. It is a God who loves us and always keeps his promises. Number four, emphasize that questions have answers while admitting that all of our answers might not be fully satisfactory. But isn't that exactly what we would expect if God is who he claims to be? A God where we could answer all the questions about him isn't much of a God at all. That might be Zeus or Diana of the Ephesians, but it isn't Yahweh and it isn't Jesus Christ. So some of our answers won't be satisfactory. Not because God doesn't have an answer, but because we, as limited physical creatures, do not yet have the capacity or experience to truly understand those answers. God's answers are always accurate from the Word of God, but sometimes they are not adequate for us to fully understand them because the problem is with us and our lack of understanding. I had a Bible professor, and I love this quote. He said, if the Bible doesn't give us a satisfactory answer to our question, we're probably asking the wrong question. Questions have answers, but sometimes we're not capable of fully seeing or understanding those answers. Number five, remember that truth belongs to us no matter who has it. I stole that from Harold Hancock. If someone who disagrees with me in many different ways finds a truth, that doesn't bother me at all. Christianity is all about truth, not dogma. One of my least favorite phrases that I've heard Christians say is when they talk about, quote-unquote, Church of Christ doctrine. And while there is certainly a sense in which Church of Christ doctrine exists, I'm concerned about Bible doctrine. Remember what Jesus said in John chapter 8, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And so truth belongs to us, no matter who has it. And then finally, number six, remember that truth has nothing to fear from error. All I want is the truth, whatever it is, whatever it requires of me. And Jesus challenged the status quo because they were distorting the truth. Jesus deconstructed some of the beliefs that the Jews of his time had. Six times in the Sermon on the Mount, in chapter 5, he goes through the same basic formula with some variation. You have heard that it was said, but I say unto you. And he was challenging them to ask the question, did God really say what you've always been taught? Now the answer for them was, not really. God said something far greater. And so let's engage our children in the asking of questions instead of being afraid, instead of ignoring, instead of patronizing. Let's dig in the Word of God and find the answers together. So, here are some questions to think about before class this Sunday. Number one, what kinds of discipline have you used? Number two, what kinds of instruction have you used? Number three, at what different ages did these different approaches change as you went through the different ages of your children? Number four, did you go through any deconstruction of the faith you were taught? How did you build that faith back? And then number five, how do we help our children have their own faith rather than faith that is merely borrowed from us? May God bless us as we face life's challenges with godly wisdom.